Even though Tay hadn't called him in, he sat down at the table right next to the Japanese kid and threw down an insignificant bet. Then he started in on the kid, talking in a loud, drunken voice.
Man, I've been playing cards for 6-7 hours. That's like 400 hands, and you should see how many sixes and sevens and nines I got. And I have so much trouble adding them up. 7 plus 6 and 6 plus 8 and... Hey, what do you got there? A 5 and a 9? Is that 14 or what?
The Japanese counter stared at him, his face reddening. He was getting rattled, probably losing the count. Kevin continued throwing numbers lodged in incomprehensible babble until finally the kid got up from the table and started to walk away. Kevin rose, following him straight into the bathroom. When the kid lined up at one of the urinals, Kevin slid in next to him. Hey, jackass, Kevin started. This wasn't Boston, this was Vegas, and in Vegas, Kevin didn't mince words. We were here first. The kid looked at him. Excuse me? You know who I am, so take your team and find some other place to play. We both stay here, we're gonna burn each other out. The kid mulled it over. Then he shrugged. I never liked the buffet here anyway. He left without flushing and took his team with him. Back in the casino, Kevin made an executive decision and decided to shut things down early. If Tay had been compromised by working the same table as the amphibian, there was a chance he'd get caught in the surveillance fallout, and there was no reason to take the risk. They'd already made enough to carry them all the way through the summer. That Sunday night, they had a blowout party in a celebrity suite at the Stardust. Kevin did so many shots of tequila that he lost count and ended up challenging Tay to a wrestling match on the living room floor. In the scuffle, they knocked over a coffee table, upending one of the duffel bags. Chips and cash flew everywhere, littering the shag carpet. Kevin lay on his back, laughing, scooping huge handfuls of $100 chips and tossing them into the air. He closed his eyes, his head swirling, as he bathed in a cool green rain of Benjamins. The quiet summer gave way to a clarion fall. The second week of October, Martinez got wind of a new casino in southwestern Connecticut. Constructed in the same vein as Foxwoods, which had opened a few years earlier, the Mohegan Sun was the newest addition to the panoply of Indian casinos sprouting up in wooded areas across the country. Built on a massive scale to lure suburbanites who couldn't quite justify the flight to Vegas. Back when Mickey was in charge of the team, they had avoided Indian casinos for the simple reason that the reservations were considered independent legal entities. There was no way to guarantee a player's rights like in Vegas. If the tribal council suddenly decided that card counting was illegal, things could get ugly pretty fast. Nobody wanted to end up languishing in an Indian jail. But the Mohegan Sun seemed too good to resist. Martinez had heard through contacts at MIT that the amphibians had hit the casino its opening weekend, just a week earlier, and positively killed the place. The amphibians had taken $250,000 from the Indians, who hadn't had any idea what had hit them. They simply weren't prepared for card counters. From what Martinez had heard, the place was full of inexperienced dealers and pit bosses. They were dealing almost to the bottom of the deck, giving easy access to the last card on the rollover, and were completely unprepared for a card-counting assault. Their pit bosses probably couldn't even recognize amateur backspotters, let alone the MIT pros. Kevin, Fisher, and Martinez took a straw vote, and the decision was made. They would hit the Mohegan the following weekend. Only Jill dissented, warning that if something went wrong, they could get themselves into a legal mess. But the team was riding so high from the past 6 months that not even the fear of an Indian jail could dissuade them.